All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy kindness. We appreciate the fact that we can approach to Thee and approach to Your throne with prayer and know that even our mumblings and our words that are so void of any true understanding, we have one that stands and makes intercession for us. Father, we trust Him to make the things that determine in our lives necessary that You would get the ultimate glory. We ask it all in Christ's name and in His special blood. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we have talked about, in the first sermon, what detracts from the gospel of Christ and that works really distracts from the gospel. Does works distract from the gospel of the kingdom? No, it's based upon works, right? So, that doesn't distract. But if you're talking about the gospel of Christ, it distracts. You with me? That I want to do a couple other things before I get to Ron's. I'm not forgot Ron. There was a couple things that popped in my head that I should have covered. Go to James for a minute. And Romans chapter 4. James 2 and Romans chapter 4. I get this verse a lot. James 2, verse 17, James said, and by the way, just so that there's clarity to who James is talking to, go to James 1, verse 1. If you have any clarity who the book of James is written to, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Who is James writing to?
Israel.
Yeah, and he's writing based upon the gospel of the
kingdom.
And so he writes, even so, verse 17, James 2, 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Well, that's only true under the kingdom message. It is not true under the grace of God. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. That's very important. That thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac the son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made what? Perfect. And so they put this on you as if you're not producing works, guess what? Yeah, you're not saved. You're not of faith. And they put that burden on you. And you've got to compare that because it's not in the dispensation of grace. If you took James alone, man, you would say, man, if I'm not doing the works, I'm probably not saved. And that's how they control you in that manipulation. But if you'll go to Romans chapter 4 and read with me, I'm going to start in verse 1, Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Everybody. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. You see that? His faith was counted for righteousness. Well, that was given in the Bible as an example of the dispensation of grace. See, we're made righteous without the works. You say, well, you got to have works. Well, then the only works I can cling on to are the works of the finished work of Calvary. You got it? Now, that all has to do with salvation. You got it? If you don't rightly divide the Bible, you're going to be confused between James chapter 2 and how many people act like James is written to the church?
Most
churches out there. So what are they going to be thinking? They're perverting the gospel of Christ, number one. Number two, what are they thinking? That their works has something to do with it. That's why people are always doubting their salvation. Have I done enough? Have I mustered it up enough? Hey, look, the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead already proves that God forgave you. You got it? Romans chapter 4, verse 25, right? So the realization is that the resurrection proved that he was where are the kids?
Tony has them. Are you worried?
Oh, if Tony's got them, I'm now worried. Is he trying to teach them anything? Or is he just riling them up? We should have prayed for Tony. I knew we were missing about four or five, and I'm like, oh boy, they're in the sugar. We will not get them normalized for 2 days. I'm glad that McGann came with hers and then we bloated them up with sugar and they're going home with her. I'm not kidding you. McGann, she'll tell you. I love that girl. She would never know how much I love her. And that is one of the most spiritual women right there that I know. She's an amazing human being. If you don't get to know her, you will have missed out in life. I'm just telling you, it's amazing. Well, that is true. I would second that. Now, I want to deal on the other side. Now, we talked about salvation. But I do believe that you should do, there are some things for you to do. And I want to start in Romans, I know this will sound strange, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13 is amazing. In Romans chapter 12, he's talking about the body of Christ. And so people have different offices. And I can tell you by far that this ministry would not go without Deborah and Renee and the people that give and come and William on the thing, you know, it takes people. And it takes effort. And it takes money and energy to make it all happen. But when it happens, I want to read a email I got. Oh my goodness. We got all kinds of texts. I might have left them out. Okay, sorry about missing the prayer about your sister Nancy, but we'll keep her in prayer. I want to read this email. I normally have this out. I don't know what's wrong with me this morning. Well, other than not getting any sleep, I look pretty good though, don't I?
Yeah.
All right, don't help me out any. I see who I'm leaving in. Here's an email we got just the other day. Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the pastor T.S. Francis of Grace and Truth Baptist Church in Jinkovin, Cameroon. I also work with the secondary school students as well as Bible college students. I have again enjoyed the information on your site and noted the great work that you are doing for the Lord, not me. You, the great work you're doing. And note this great work you are doing for the Lord. And just want to say that we are praying for your ministry. Cameroon, Africa, guys. You don't think this ministry is reaching out? What you're doing, listen to me, is incredible. You think you're just showing up? What are you, crazy? Cameroon. It's because of Mac giving and coming and Deborah's thing and you're showing up and playing bass and oh, yeah, not yet, but we're getting there. I'm having future visions. Renee, and you, and because of George, and because of Jim and Dan. He says, I've enjoyed the information on your site and note the great work that you are doing. And just wanted to say we are praying for your ministry. I really enjoy what you're doing with the Lord on your website and just thought of dropping this note. It really is amazing how we have gotten the truth of God and keeps on giving us avenues to promulgate it. We also distribute King James Bible and several people as soon as we get them. Pray for me and my ministry. It is so great to have you. It is so great you have understood the Word of God. Taya Francis Yah from Northwest R, Cameroon, West Africa. I get notes like this every day, and people have asked me to read them, and I can't read them. They're embarrassing to me. The work that you're doing in the Lord is amazing. It humbles me that we can gather 25, 35, 45, 50 people and touch people in Cameroon, Texas, Africa, and never, ever leave. Man, it's incredible. I mean, really, it is almost incredible. Had one from Turkey the other day. Said, I watched you live. You're pretty funny. I thought so. I wrote him back, said, I thought so. I'm kidding. Had another one from New Zealand. Colin and Daryl Mudford. They're dairy farmers. You know what time they get up to watch us? 2:30 in the morning, they're watching us. Have a group out in California that's been watching us for 4 years. Young boy came up to the conference and he hugged my neck and I'm like kind of freaked out a little bit, you know. And he said, it's you. And I'm like, okay, I think so. He's about 23, 24 years old. And he says, I love you in the Lord like you never believe. He says, you're my only Bible teacher. I catch you on the web. Wow. Lynn from PA. Writes me almost every day. Jerry Jones grabbed my neck down and says, I've been watching you. He says, your group inspires me. He says, I want to be part of it. He wept as I left and he kissed me on my cheek and he said, I love you so much in the Lord. This stuff humbles me. Freaks me out. Because I'm a piece of crap. I wake up every day knowing what I am. But there's a great work going. And you're a part of it. You don't think it's important that you design the t-shirt? It all counts. Every bit of it counts. And we're not here just to gather dust or to collect up our thing and show how bright we are. Who cares how bright you are? I didn't care how bright I am. What God's interested in is His Son. And this little church, with all that it's done, has been amazing. You don't think it's important? perfecting the world. Don't you get it? Wow. I mean, do you get it? It's a big deal. Every dime. I haven't taken a salary in 14 years. And you know what? I believe I deserve one. How many here think I should deserve one? Well, we turned it all back in that we could keep buying stuff and putting the waves out there. And right now, we could use a piece of equipment that's $14,500. I'll tell you how much it is. It would change our internet condition 100%. You know? There's things to be done. And it all takes you. It takes you. It doesn't take me. You know, my job is really the easiest of all of it. You can ask George, anybody who's ever been behind the pulpit, this is easy. You know, it's hard cleaning the toilets. That's not fun. Someone's got to clean the toilet. Because that guest wants a clean toilet when he comes. Or she comes. Someone's got to vacuum the floor. That's no fun. Nobody ever gets to recognize that. You ever notice the plants never need watering? It's because we have an automatic waterer. Isn't that amazing? I don't have to worry about the plant. Someone's got that covered. It doesn't seem important, but that peach plant back there, I didn't think it was going to make it. Look at it. It's flourishing. Man, the lawn needs mowing. I don't even have to think about it. Somebody's got it covered. The shingles needed fixing. They were all stained up. Someone unstained them. How cool is that? Automatic unstainers. We bought extra. We paid extra for those. You know, after they get stained, they just clean themselves up. All of those things were done by people in this building, and it couldn't go on without you. I can go out and witness and stuff, but if you're going to have a church and a fellowship, it takes people and energy and time and money. And it's an amazing. So we're not, when we're talking about the things that would take away from the gospel of Christ, these things aren't that. Satan, we need an automatic fly swatter. We don't have one of those. That's the first fly in 5 years. Oh, this is distracting, isn't it? No. Oh, did you get him? Oh, you let him go. You had him. Did he get him? All right. Hey, we have an automatic fly swatter. I knew there was a gift like that. But there's different gifts inside the church. And those gifts are so important. Look if you will, in Romans chapter 12. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Do we need anybody that prophesizes anymore?
No.
Why? We've got the written word of God. So that's not a ministry that is necessary for the church. You got it? It was necessary when Paul first got started. Amen? But it's not necessary today. On ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Are there people in here that have ministering spirits? Absolutely. On he that teaches, on teaching. Are there teachers in here? Yeah. On he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love. Hey, I loved my brother when he lost his mother. Why? He said, be kindly affectionate one to another. You know, I might have a need one day. I'm going to love you like my brother. And that's what it's all about, guys. There's different offices. Can I tell you, hey, Sterling, you got this office. Dale, you got this office. Can I do that? No, that's the direction of the Holy Spirit. Only you can know what your job is. I can't go around designating jobs and saying this is your job because I don't know. I mean, I can tell you, It takes a lot of effort. Renee will tell you, with all that she does, she likes to play with buttons, so we gave her the soundboard. Then we found out she likes to play with too many buttons. But she's learning. It's a learning process. You have to want to learn it. I can't give you that desire. Who is it? Let me talk to him. Is it your girlfriend? Is it Hannah? Is it your mama? Who? It's your boss. Oh, your cousin. Y'all understand? I can't give you your ministry. I don't know what it is. But I know it's somewhere in here. Look at verse 11. Not slothful in business. You know what? If you're in business, I would recommend you not being slothful. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. When I worked for Kmart, I didn't work for Kmart. You know who I worked for? The Lord Jesus Christ. I went to work every day at Kmart for the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't actually go to work for myself. I mean, what's the point? I went to work to glorify Him and cause Him. So I went to work every day as I was serving the Lord. You know what? I take my preaching attitude the same way. I take my church coming the same way. I at the meetings, I would never miss July 11th. I'm teasing Deborah. Y'all understand? You know why? I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for Him. You got it? And he says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer. Then, hey, we ought to be ready to pray for everything. Amen? Distribution to the necessity of the saints. You know, sometimes saints need help. They get down in the dumps. You got to be there to pick them up. And give into hospitality. I'm thinking about making George the hospitality minister. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. You know what's fascinating to me? All these legalistic people up north in Kentucky have just talked nasty about me. And I'm okay with that because probably most of what they're saying is probably better than what's really true. But you know what you're supposed to do? Love your enemies. How about that? How about the guys that you just want to puke on? You go over instead, fix them a fine meal, and say, I love you. And so they were yelling bad names at me and calling me an infidel and, you know, everything you could call. And they did give me one compliment. They called me the black evangelist from California. I thought the rating that they thought I was that good looking was just amazing. Tall, dark, and okay, maybe not. So I decided, you know, what would the Lord have me to do? So I bought them all gifts. Send it to them. Well, you know, the Bible says if you do that, you leak fire or coals upon their head. Look in Romans 13. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love. Chafin just said, wait until you hear the latest. Do I have to buy him another gift? Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, you've got a work of walking in love. You've got the love of Christ in you. Amen? That is the direction that you're supposed to do. Listen, could you love your enemies? Yeah, all you have to do is make a mental choice of saying, I'm serving the Lord. See, all of that is works that are involved, but it's not you doing those works. It's the words of God working inside of you. Go to Philippians chapter 1. See, people always think it's their effort. Folks, the work that you do isn't your effort. See, those verses go inside of you, convict you. It's the Holy Spirit entering into you, and you perform those works based upon those things that God has said in His Word. I asked this one guy what God has called him to be as a husband, and he said strong. It never said that anywhere that the husband should be strong. Now, he thought that was a good thing to say because it sounds right. You can't put in your mind what you think is right. What you've got to do is put in what is the Word of God and let it work out of you. Does that make sense? So you want to know the will of God? Study. And as God starts to lay on the heart, I knew from the time I got saved, listen to me, from the moment I trusted the Lord, when I knew it was all done and I was resting in the finished work at Calvary, that I wanted to preach this gospel. Nobody had to tell me how or what. I just started. I started showing every one of my friends that I could have, and I found out I didn't have any friends because they all got mad at me. But I showed them all, and I just kept showing them. And then finally we got to Houston. Brendan and I never put that you speak Spanish on your application. Muy poquito el Español. Okay? 2 years in Spanish high school. You know? That kind of thing. I was high half the time I was learning Spanish. I mean, I don't even know if I can explain any. I got one line. Ready for this? It was funny. I gave this one line on a. I was going to Cancun, Mexico with Brendan. We were in the pyramids. And I go, Buenas noches, calientes de que mar, la tienda sacerdote. She said, where did you learn to speak Spanish? She says, you have perfect dialect. I said, really? What makes you an expert? She says, oh, I'm the Mexican English teacher at the University of Mexico. Wow, that's quite a compliment. She said, do you speak any more? No. Well, you speak that one line really well. Good night, Kmart shoppers. Our store is now closed. It works, too, because when you're in Little Mexico, we call it Texas, when you're in Little Mexico, you have to speak Spanish to make those people leave. I'm just telling you. I was the first night, and he said, well, how was your closing? I said, it was terrible. I kept saying, good night, Kmart. He said, you don't speak any Spanish? No. He said, you're in deep poopy. I said, really? He said, they don't speak English. No English? So we got along really well. Señor, señor, yes, yes. Oh, yes. I just kept saying yes to everything. I was the most popular manager, and then I realized I'd given everything away at like 50 and 60% discounts. They were asking me, and I say, yeah. And they say, oh, sí, señor. So they wouldn't go to any of the other managers. They'd come if they wanted their discount from me because I was just going to say sí, you know. And I meant like we'll see it and see about it later, and they meant sí as in yes. I can tell you, I got over there in Kmart, and you had to do that. Well, there's things you've got to learn in the body of Christ that will make you more effective and cause you to be the person that God wants you to be. And in Philippians chapter 1, I want you to see how it works. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day. Who's going to perform it? He will. It isn't even your work. He's going to perform it in you. How do you think he's going to do that? By the words of God. Hey, listen, I can tell you that guy thought he had to be strong in his marriage. That's not what he said. You know what it said about marriage? Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, wash your wife with the word, that you might present yourself a church being without spot and blemish. Wives, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. Reverence your husband. You know what that is? And Jerry Sammons made a good point of this at the conference too, just as a side note. He said, I really feel bad for wives. They give up their Christ lordship when they get married and give it to their husband. Can you imagine? Wow. You know who Abraham's wife, Elizabeth, called Lord? Who? She gave up her lordship to have a husband. Can you imagine replacing him with the likes of me? Or Jeff? I saw him laughing. That's why I picked him out. Can you imagine giving up him being your Lord to Jim Berdow? And that's what women have done when they say, I do. And those sorry rascal husbands, not to pick on the husbands too bad, but they are pretty sorry, want to go fishing. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to wash their wives with the Word. When they get home, they want their wives to feed them. And they won't take 5 minutes to open the Word of God and wash their wives. Don't have time. You know what? The works you can do that's visible to the church, I bet there's some important works you can do as a husband to your wife that would absolutely cause her to be breathtaking. You know what? My wife can find a better looking guy, a richer one, but I guarantee you she'll never find another one that can wash her the word the way I can. And I take time to do it. And I don't do it for you or as an example for you. I do it because God gave me that ministry. And we talk about the Bible and get in the Word of God. When she has questions, I answer her question. You know what? Some people will use the Bible as a bull stick and knock their wives up against their thing, trying to cause them to... And you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. God never intended you to do that. That doesn't demonstrate the grace of God, and it doesn't demonstrate the things that God has done for you. God wants you to bless that woman just like Christ blessed the church. Man, listen, he's done everything for me. And that work that is reflective is that based upon the words that I can find in the King James Bible that is working effectually in me. You all understand? And that brings forth a work. He said, preach the word. You know what that did to my heart? It convicted my heart. You know why? God wanted me to preach the word. He told some people in this room to give. Flat out told you to give. Some of you give, some of you are rebellious to giving. Some of you aren't supposed to be giving. You better know what it is God wants you to do and do that work. That work is important. But just remember, it's Him working in you. And He's going to maintain the works. It will not even be what you have to do is basically let Jesus take the wheel, I think the song says. Amen? Let go. Quit trying to be anything as a Christian and allow the work to come forth. I'll give you an example. We had men's meeting, and Larry's not here, but he just went for his family reunion. He does it once a year. It's usually, he's only missed once or twice outside of that, but that's his time when he's gone, but he's here regularly. And I can tell you that we had this men's meeting and said, I want to know who wants to be a deacon. Now, I'm going to ask you, how many in here would like to be an elder or a leader of this church as a thing? Raise your hand. So we started having meetings. And we had all the men show up the first night. Next Tuesday, not quite as many. Not 8 weeks down the way, we got down to two people that were really dedicated. And I looked at them and said, well, you guys are it. Now, why did I do that? Because the other ones didn't have the interest or the heart. You got it? I mean, you don't have to. Hey, listen, it isn't some magical thing. There is no appointment to the church. God appoints you. He brought Matthias and Bartholomew before, and they threw lots on them. Guess who they fell on? Matthias. God chose them. Hey, God will choose you to the ministry that God wants you to do, and the work that you're going to do is going to be fantastic, whatever it is. I'll give you an example. You want to preach at this church? I'd love for you to preach. You know what you have to do? Show up. If you're going to be a preacher and you won't show up, then you ain't a preacher. Preachers show up. You got it? And that's the way it is. You show up, you can get behind the pulpit. Say, well, I can preach better than that person. Well, big deal, he shows up every Sunday. I mean that. And I'm not being facetious. Why? It's your heart, guys. It's your heart. What is your desire to do for the Lord? You want to do a great work for the Lord? Get on with it. That does not sound safe back there. I think at this point we should pray for Tony. No, don't go back there. It'll be worse. We only got 2 minutes. If Tony doesn't make it, well, actually, we're hoping that Tony doesn't make it because he's probably worth more dead than alive because of his insurance policy. And she'll buy a condo on the beach and she'll be happy. Oh, that doesn't sound good, though. All right. Huh?
Not on the beach.
It's just going to be a black beach, even with tar on it. It's better than Montgomery in the middle of the summer. Exactly. Hey, listen. Pre-oiled crawfish down in Louisiana. So there is a work that you're to be doing that is necessary. You can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it talks about the body too, and I'm not going to go there, but you ought to mark it and head there tonight and pray about it and say, what does God want me to do? And you may have talents that other people don't have. I just wanted to read this one verse in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, here's some things we should have. Verse 25, that there should be no schisms in the body and that the members should have the same care one of another. There are some ministries that aren't individually, it's grouped. It's the body stuff. You've got to care for one another. When someone's down, you've got to be there to rescue them. That's everybody's responsibility. Y'all understand? Not just one. I mean, there's some in here that are single. I wouldn't expect Jean to know anything at this point about marriage unless she's going to get married. But I expect, you know, Jeff and Missy to know every verse on marriage. It's amazing to me when I get to people and they go, we're having marriage problems. And I said, well, can you give me the verses that God would want you to do? I don't even know where to find them. Hang on, you've been in marriage 10 years and you don't even know. Weren't you a little bit curious since you're in the ministry of marriage what it should be like? That's why the Bible talked about preachers being the husbands of one wife. Hey, they have to learn to give of themselves. You can't be selfish and be married. Thank you. Do I get an amen from another girl? You all understand? You can't be, hey, you can't be selfish and be married. You start being selfish, guess what? There's going to be a division. You work too much and don't show your wife any attention, guess what? There's going to be a division. You start playing with the money and she doesn't trust you anymore, guess what? There is going to be a division. You start looking at other women and playing with other women, guess what? The trust is going to break down and you're going to have a division. A what? Divorce? A murder. Good point. The point is why should the husband, why should the preacher have be the husband of one wife? Because he shows leadership in the things that the Word of God is saying, and he's following that which the Holy Spirit is moving inside of him. You say, well, it's not important. It is important, guys. It is important. Every aspect of your ministry is important. You husbands in here, you represent Christ, not just to your family. Hey, when you, the children see you running around here, they're looking at you as well. You're it. And I went home, and every night when I first got excited about this truth, and I studied every night. And you know why I studied? I didn't study just to know the truth of the Word of God, but I wanted to be the man that God would have me to be for marrying Brenda. And up to this point, 27 years, it's worked out pretty good. I'm still in love with her today, just like I was the very first day I set my eyes upon her. And I realized for her to put her trust in me and my ministry and the work that God's called me to do, I had to become skilled in the Word of God to wash her. And look how clean she looks. Use OxyClean. It works a little bit better. No, use the Word of God. It's amazing. And honestly, that happens and all of a sudden you'll see things happening. Well, it's like that in the ministry. I have just kept going and kept going. Ron says, well, you know, people need to do things. Amen. You know what I want your motivation to be? Not me. I want you to be because it's in the Word of God and you're convicted of it and it's your ministry. Man, listen, let me tell you what. Ain't nobody going to take it. Own it. It's yours. Own your own ministry. And I tell you what, moms have a huge ministry. That's a huge responsibility. You want to see some great moms? You ought to know every mom in the Bible and what they did for their kids to get the Word of God. You ought to see it. It's quite remarkable. Man, I am incredibly proud of the work this ministry has done. And the things that people have stepped up to the plate is almost mind-boggling. Really. I am very, very thankful. In letters like that, when it says you, it ain't talking about me. It's talking about you. The ministry you have done. Wow.